welcome to another Canine Mind Freak episode presented by us canines on duty, of course. And today, it's all about dopamine. And, you know, I've been reading a lot of new articles about dopamine and the effects. What are some of the new case studies that are out there? And so I wanted to have a little bit of chat about how this can affect our working dogs or even our pet dogs, right? And I don't think that this topic is really talked about enough. So I kind of want to dive into that. But first, let's define what dopamine is. So dopamine, according to the Medical University of Vienna, is the so-called messenger substance or neurotransmitter that conveys signals between neurons. So it not only controls mental and emotional responses, but also motor reactions. So movement. And I think that that's an important little section there, which we'll touch on here in a moment. But dopamine is particularly known as being the happy hormone. So it's responsible for our experiencing happiness. Even so-called adrenaline rushes, such as those experienced when playing like sports, for example, are based on the same pattern. Adrenaline, by the way, is a close relative of dopamine. So why is understanding this so important? What we just read in the University of Vienna's description of dopamine, that it's also responsible for motor reactions. The question is why? Well, think about it this way. If dopamine is a pleasurable hormone, that's the brain's way of telling the body that it made the right choice. Let me say that again. Dopamine is the brain's way of telling the body that you made the right choice. So, one of the things that I learned in my abnormal psychology class is that somebody with social anxiety, if they walk out the door, not only does their cortisol level drops, but then the brain rewards the problem-solving ability because it reduced the cortisol by flooding the brain with dopamine, right? Giving off dopamine. That's the reward. That means you made the right choice. You did something that is helpful, right? Because your cortisol levels came down, your stress came down. Well, this same thing happens in dogs. If a dog is fearful and they escape, cortisol level drops, the brain gives off a pulse of dopamine, and the body says, oh, that was the right call because I feel better. I feel happier now that I'm out of that stressful environment. And then what do? We chase rewards, right? So if the same situation happens again, the dog or the human is going to think, well, last time I ran and hid under the master bed. And they're going to repeat that action because they obtained a reward in that. And I think so many dog people, they're so focused on reward being from them. Like, it's when I do this, when I do that. No, it has nothing to do with you at times. In fact, the definition of reward in my and as it pertains to psychology is in one of my psychology books, definition number 5, it states that it's any pleasant event. Why? Because a pleasant event equals dopamine. And dopamine tells the brain and the body, do that again, right? Okay, so now that we're all on the same page with that, I wanna talk to you guys about dopamine detox. And this is an interesting concept. And I've understood this and I've done this when I ran my kennels and I trained dogs physically on a regular basis. Now, you know, you guys know I pretty much just focus on psychology and the whole psychological aspects of training. But I didn't know what I was doing. I just felt that it was the right thing. So I still get calls from handlers all over the country, well, all over the world, actually. And they're saying, hey, you know, I'm having a problem with my dog. For example, I just worked with some military personnel, and they were having a problem with a few of their dogs at the kennel. And we actually talked about dopamine and the effects of dopamine that has on behavior. And here's the problem. Dopamine is kind of like a drug. And so what happens when we take a drug? Well, our body builds up tolerance. It's the same thing with adrenaline too, which we just learned that adrenaline is a very close cousin of dopamine. It's a pleasurable type of hormone. And so, for example, take skydiving. The first time you skydived, if you find that pleasurable, your brain was dumped with your brain dumped loads of dopamine. And but the more you do it, the reason why it becomes not as pleasurable as the first time you did it is because your body is adapting to to that amount of dopamine. This is why adrenaline junkies have to go to the next level and do more daring stuff, because their body is adapting to the amount of dopamine and adrenaline and serotonin and endorphins and so on and so forth. And so I was listening to a gentleman talk about doing a dopamine detox for humans, of course. And I thought, you know, that's exactly what I did with dogs. Dogs that were shutting down. You have to ask yourself why. And one of the things that I always preached to my handlers was, it's too regimented. Yeah, it's all you do. You're on autopilot. You have trained so much with your dog that when you grab the dog, it's the same rigmarole. You're not even thinking about it. You're just going through the motions. And because you don't have that intense focus on the dog and that bonding experience like you had in the beginning of training, the dog says, well, this is no fun. So the dog is not getting the same dopamine dump in the brain. That's one reason, but there's also another reason. Sometimes the dog has already experienced this level of training, which gave me this level of dopamine. Well, now I'm still doing this level of training, but the effects of the dopamine are now down here. No different than somebody repeating skydiving and their body adapting to this amount of dopamine. So the value of dopamine decreases because the dog's body is adapting to that amount of dopamine for that situation. The dog has already experienced this situation 100 times. And so we find sometimes dogs get bored because the rewarding chemical dopamine no longer has the same value. And I've always told my handlers, if you start seeing your training deteriorate and it seems like your dog is bored, just put them up for a couple days. Don't work them. What'll happen is the dog's gonna have a desire to do what it does on a daily basis because now it can't. And so that builds anticipation, and anticipation alone will create dopamine. And so then the anticipation of that act or the training becomes rewarding, but then it's not enough. They need more. And then that builds that drive to want to come out of that kennel and go right back to work. So it's a really cool dynamic to understand the effects of dopamine. So make sure that you're giving your dog a break from training. Don't overtrain. There's been a ton of study. I don't have enough time in this video to really go into that, but they've actually done studies as to determine which type of dogs do better. The dogs that do longer training sessions and 10 times a day compared to shorter sessions, fewer times a day with more fun breaks in between. And of course that whole study kind of was a spin-off of like ego depletion. Is the mind getting exhausted and are they absorbing information? Well, so ego depletion is a part of that, but so is dopamine. If the dog finds the work exciting and then you keep repeating it, their body's gonna adapt to that level of dopamine. So it all makes sense, really, if you break it down this way. So make sure you give your dog a break if you start seeing your dog looking bored within that training. Okay? And so what happens is we keep the reward level of dopamine dump pleasurable. The moment the dog says, okay, I've already experienced this level 100 times. This isn't fun for me anymore. By providing a break for your dog, it builds that anticipation as we've talked about. So make sure that's kind of our goal. Make sure you keep that in mind, is that your mission is to keep the reward or the level of dopamine dump or the reward in the dopamine dump remains pleasurable. The moment it starts getting boring and the moment you start overworking your dog, the importance of that dopamine level goes down. So now the dog needs something more exciting to have that feeling of pleasure. It's no different with us. So think about you. And the interesting thing, real quick, I'll touch on this real quick and then I'm gonna close this video down. But the gentleman that I was listening to was talking about the fact that there's so much technology around that we literally get addicted. And they talk about what it's like when you make a post on Facebook, for example, and you get 100 likes where before you only got 50 likes. Well, those 100 likes are gonna make you feel important. They're gonna make you feel like you've been heard. And so your brain, because you did that, your brain is gonna create the dopamine. So you're gonna get a dopamine dump from that. Well, then eventually you see 100 likes every day. Eventually, okay, I had 100 likes yesterday. I had 100 likes the day before. It's not as rewarding compared to the first time that I got 100 likes. And now you're gonna push, you're gonna post more, and you're gonna try to be more creative. And you're gonna shoot for 200 likes and then 300 likes. And pretty soon, you wake up in the day, and if you don't have your phone in your hand, your brain's not producing the dopamine. Because remember, dopamine tells the body to reenact what you did in order to get the dopamine. So then the first, you're pretty soon, you're gonna be addicted to that phone. That's gonna be the first thing that you grab so you can get your fix of dopamine, right? Does that make sense? Because that's exactly what's going on in a dog's brain as well. And they've done a ton of study. I'm gonna do a little bit longer video on that one at a later date, but there's some recent research that came out where they've actually tested this effect specifically on fear responses too. Because you gotta remember, if a dog or a human responds in a state of fear, and whatever they did to confront the fear, preserve the body, then of course there's gonna be dopamine involved, because that tells the body to repeat what you did last time because it kept you safe. And there's a whole scientific study on this, which I'll go over, but I really was inspired to teach today about dopamine, because I really believe that this is an important part of our training and keeping our reliability in our dogs at a good place. Because when you're on a real life deployment, if for you police canine handlers, the last thing you want is for your dog to say, done this a million times, I'm bored, there's a dead animal in the bush. That seems more intriguing right now than searching this car. Now, some of you might be watching this video saying, well, I've never experienced that with my dog. I can tell you, because I talk to people all over the United States and in different countries too, I keep forgetting that. That's happened more recently for us, which I'm happy about. So there's my dopamine dump right there. But yeah, I hear this same complaint time and time and time again. And even with experienced handlers and experienced dogs, and they're left to wonder why. Well, a lot of behavior happens based on what we believe. If you've watched my other videos, you'll know that you cannot have most behaviors without an underlying belief. So the belief creates emotion, and the emotion creates the chemical reactions which animates the body, or it tells the body what to do. So if it's fear, then you're going to have cortisol and adrenaline, and then it's going to your thalamus is going to tell the body to run away, for example, or engage in a fight. So those chemicals tell the body what to do. It's no different with dopamine. Dopamine tells the dog or the animal or the person to repeat the behavior in order to get the reward. And we see this even in our training. What do? When a dog does the right thing, we reward them. In other words, we found something that creates a dopamine dump. And this is why I tell people, don't rely just on food. Not every dog is food motivated. Not every dog wants a tennis ball. Not every dog wants a PVC pipe or a tug or whatnot. What about those dogs that are addicted to equipment? They're chasing the dopamine rush. This explains so much of our behavior, specifically in bite work, where the dog is uncontrollable, because the dog learned that if I behave this way, I get the dopamine dump because I'm anticipating the bite and I'm addicted to the dopamine. This is another reason why it's great to give your dog a break. And that's exactly what this gentleman was talking about with the technology. He's saying, put it down for 24 to 48 hours. Don't touch it. Don't text. Don't look at social media. Don't watch videos. Don't do anything. Instead, go for a walk. You know, go for a hike. Go outside and play frisbee with your dog, or whatever. Granted, I'm adding that in there, but the whole point is you have to break the norm in order for your brain to find value in the same amount of dopamine that was being dumped for different activities. And when you have that separation, when you have that detox, then the smaller things become rewarding again. And this is why so many people aren't happy in life. This is why there's so many depression cases, is because people have been chasing the dopamine dump instead of allowing the dopamine dump to happen for lesser things. We're always chasing the greater thing. Give me more, give me more, give me more. Now, if you discipline yourself and you make all the more stuff go away, then your brain can begin to realize the beauty in taking a walk through the woods and listening to the birds. See, so many times our face is deep in our phones and we're missing things that are happening in our environment that's gonna make us say, oh man, I feel at peace. Boom, dopamine dump right there. So if you think about it that way, put yourself now in your dog's shoes. You know, what activities have become addicting to them, and they're addicted to that dopamine. So go through the detox, give them 2, 3 days, 4 days off, you know, or if you have a dual purpose dog, for example, and you're doing bite work every single training session, skip 3 training sessions, just do searches and or tracks and trails and do dope finds. And I've seen dogs that were addicted to the searching for drugs. You know, there's no drug planted, and you see these obsessive compulsive dogs just searching the home, even when they're off duty. They can't stop themselves. They're like, I need to feel better. Well, that tells us that there's something going on, that the dog is missing something. You know, I've seen this where handlers, they're with the dog for 12-hour shifts at times. They come home and they don't interact with their dog. So then their dog says, well, wait a minute here. I spend 12 hours a day with you. You're not interacting with me now, and I miss that. Because interacting with the handler is a dopamine dump. That bond creates dopamine and oxytocin and other chemicals that say, you need to keep bonding, keep bonding. And then all of a sudden we stop bonding, and because we're tired, maybe we need to sleep, and we're not replacing that with anything else. So then the dog is left to fend for itself, and then they say, okay, fine, I'll figure out how to get my own dopamine. Well, that could look like chewing on your coffee table, peeing on stuff, ripping apart a couch, whatever is going to create that dopamine dump. So then the dog learns how to self-fulfill or self-reward in order to get the same amount of dopamine dump. This is why engaging with our dogs and being a responsible handler or dog owner or trainer is to understand that we've got to fill that void in some form or fashion. So maybe for an example, if you need some sleep and your dog is high energy, give him something to chew on. You know, I've talked to so many handlers, they're like, well, I've been trained, never give my dog anything rewarding outside of work. Okay, well, that could be a problem for some dogs, not all dogs. Some dogs are okay, you know, where they're done with work and they're fine, okay, let's sleep together or whatever. And then when they wake up, they're just fine being there. But there's other dogs, that's not enough dopamine for them. They need more, they need more, they need more. So this is where we, you know, I've seen trainers, which I think is a brilliant idea. They take a clamp, they screw it to the floor, and they put a rope tug on the ring. And so then, you know, the dog has something to pull on to get that energy out. And there's a lot of people that are gonna argue that, well, I don't want the dog to self-reward. Well, the dog's gonna do it anyways. So why not us be in control, or the handler be in control of how the dog is chasing that dopamine reward? I would rather step in and provide for my dog and tell my dog this is acceptable and this is not, compared to the dog trying to make that determination on their own. It creates too much confusion for the dog, in my opinion. So make sure you give your dog a break. Watch this video a couple times so that you fully understand dopamine, and start thinking about that in your training. When you see your dog doing something, you first thing you need to ask yourself, is my dog doing that because it's finding pleasure in that? If that's the case, then it's dopamine telling you that the dog is going to repeat, right? So I hope that helps. I hope you learned a lot about dopamine today. Thank you for joining me. And till next time, stay safe, watch your six, and as always, Semper Fi.